the rest of the story. Everybody remembers the Alamo. Yet a surprisingly short while ago, in April of 1914, the United States once again stood at the brink of war with Mexico. It was President Wilson's hope to spare Mexicans the military dictatorship of Victoriano Huerta, so the president, without consent of Congress, dispatched our armed forces to occupy the city of Veracruz. This was accomplished at a cost of 500 lives. Next, it was decided that we needed a spy, somebody to perform a reconnaissance operation and determine our enemy's preparedness. Such a man was selected and sent to Veracruz. That man was a captain in the United States Army. He's somebody you know. Arriving May 1, he discovered no means by which our troops could be effectively deployed. Railroad cars, freight, and passengers sat empty on nearby tracks, but there were no engines to pull them. Learning that the engines had been hidden somewhere between Veracruz and Alvarado, the captain set out on a daring expedition. He and a Mexican railroad man he'd hired to accompany him began their journey by hand car. Gloomy twilight quickly fell into night. The two reached Boca del Rio, but found the railroad bridge which had spanned the Jamapa River was down, so the captain and his companion searched the riverbank, located a small boat, made the crossing. Two stolen ponies would ride them along the tracks to another hand car. They traveled many miles more, and then shortly after 1 a.m., five locomotives were discovered. The captain inspected them carefully, found them in need of a few minor repairs, but otherwise in excellent condition. But now comes the hard part. He had to live to tell. On the return journey to Veracruz, the captain reached Salinas undetected. Suddenly, he and his companion were accosted by five armed men, obviously members of a marauding band. The bandidos opened fire and gave chase. The captain and the railroad man fled, outdistancing all but two. In a hail of bullets, the captain returned fire. Both pursuers went down. At Piedra, another ambush, this time 15 armed mounted bandits, another gun battle. The railroad man was shot in the shoulder, but again he and the captain escaped. Near Laguna, still another ambush, three mounted men thundered alongside the handcar, shooting as they rode, a shrill clanking as bullets struck the handcar inches from the captain, and yet somehow he lost two and killed a third. By daybreak, the comrades had crossed the Jamapa River. Soon they would be in Veracruz, safely behind U.S. lines, but this is the rest of the story. Recommended for the Medal of Honor, the captain was turned down. Because he had followed the orders of his superiors in Washington too carefully. He was told that he must not confide his mission to the general in charge of U.S. occupation for that general's own protection. And yet the awards board refused to cite the captain for bravery because he had ignored the local commander. So instead of a medal, they gave a desk job to young Captain Douglas MacArthur. Now, one thing more. It has been said that when a man's life is destined for a special purpose, he is made invincible until that purpose is fulfilled. Might Captain MacArthur have pondered such a destiny when he returned to Veracruz that morning, wondering how he had survived the torrent of lead, then to examine his uniform, his shirt, riddled with bullet holes, on his body, not a scratch. And now you know the rest of the story.